This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
And Viv Govender from Ryan Swiss Offshore is on the line this evening. Viv, a pleasure. Good evening.
Thanks for having me.
Wonderful, Viv. Always a pleasure having you. What a week it's been. I think it's maybe the first full five-day week that we've had in a while, and a lot actually happened.
Oh, yes. I mean, we had some significant news out this week from the U.S., especially with inflation. Inflation came in higher than expected. And if you look at what's happening in the U.S. right now, you have inflation above expectations. You have inflation rising. Well, it's still about 2%. You have the economy growing quite fast at a rate that probably most economists above, a consistent, sustainable rate into the future. You have unemployment at below what they would call full employment. So in this, basically above full employment. So unemployment is very low at the moment. And so what we have is a situation where normally you'd expect actually the U.S. to be looking at rate hikes, forgetting about rate cuts. And that's what we see happening right now. The chance of a rate cut or three rate cuts this year has gone up substantially now. I think the consensus is for two cuts. And if you look at the start of this year, we were like between four and six cuts.
I must ask you, Viv, based on that thesis, then can Europe possibly start cutting sooner? Because they do need an environment that is stimulating. They have to pull back on interest rates.
Yeah, look, I mean, the Europe might cut sooner just because the European economy is not doing as well as the American economy. America is, has an incredible economy at the moment, one of the all-time great economies, you've seen out there. Even though inflation is high and interest rates have to be raised to fight it, they are still managing to basically have, incredible amounts of growth, incredible amounts of employment, and so on. But if you look at the Eurozone, we've seen, for instance, that their growth rates have been, under great deal of pressure. Even though the inflation still is reasonably hot in places like Spain, for instance, where you are seeing, 3.3% or so. But the growth rate is much, much lower. The unemployment situation is worse. And so they may have more reason to cut than the U.S. does.
We'll be watching that one very, very closely. Also keen to touch on what we're seeing on the JSE this week. What a resources rally, Viv. Keen to get your thoughts on what we're seeing happening here.
Yeah, look, it's safe haven. It's like gold has gone to 2,400 an ounce. So we've seen platinum above 1,000 for the first time in a while. And that's what's driving the movers today. If you look at the biggest movers in the country, Harmony, Implats, Arm, Anglo Gold, Sibanye, DRD Gold, Goldfields, Glencore, Northern, these are pretty much the top 10 biggest moves in the country. And we talk about moves like Harmony, 10%, 9% for Implats, Anglo Gold, 9%, Sibanye, just about 9%. So these companies are doing really, really well because their commodity prices are going up, gold prices up, platinum prices up. We are seeing, for instance, also oil prices rising. We haven't mentioned it yet, but there is a significant chance that something happens this weekend, which in Iran and Israel. Mm-hmm. If you look at Israeli news, etc., they are saying that there's some kind of government information that they're expecting an attack from Iran on Israel within the next 48 hours. If that does happen, it's an incredibly disruptive thing, not just for that particular part of the world, but for the world as a whole, because Iran controls a huge chunk of what's, of the world's trade through what's called the Straits of Hormuz, through which a lot of oil moves, a lot of gas moves, especially to India and China. And Iran also has relationship with the Houthi rebels in Yemen that controls the Red Sea. And so it could be a lot of, uncertainties to start next week if this does happen. Like I said, we don't know for certain if it's going to happen, but right now, if you look at like Israeli news and Israeli news sources, they are pretty confident that something's going to be occurring this weekend.
Sure. I must also ask you, Viva, with these resources, is this a point of inflection or is this possibly a short rally that might require a little bit of a change in the global macros for it to be sustainable?
Look, I mean, it requires primarily a change in the Chinese macro to be sustainable. If you look at just what resources have looked like over the last, I would say, few decades or so, it's primarily been driven by China. China accounts, even though China is like the second largest economy in the world, maybe the largest, depending on how you measure these things, it accounts for an even bigger share of the world's total demand for resources. Remember, China built its cities from scratch, virtually. It started its car industry, it started a whole bunch of different industries at the world's manufacturing center. So it really has been a huge source of demand. What's happened over the last couple of years, you've seen the Chinese property market under pressure, and that has had a huge impact on commodity demand. Like a third of most commodities, like copper and steel and so on, is primarily going towards infrastructure. infrastructure in China, which has, you know, demand of these materials. And so with the Chinese property industry under huge pressure over the last couple of years, with those defaults and those ghost cities and that kind of stuff that's been occurring there, that's kind of driven down demand. And if we want to see the kind of like those strong demand we saw in the past, we have to see a recovery from China or something replacing China, like the rise of India or the rise of some other part of the world that's going to demand the stuff that China was demanding in the past.
We'll be keenly watching that one with such a vested interest. Viv, also keen to get your thoughts on what we saw with Transaction Capital this week. That share price tanking, I think the last I checked was around 3 Rand, you know, virtually worthless compared to what it used to be in the past. But also the listing of WeBuyCars, Viv, what do we make of this? I'm also keen for you maybe to help us understand what the new relationship is between WeBuyCars and Transaction Capital post this listing.
Yeah, look, I mean, obviously Transaction Capital still retains a piece of it, but Transaction Capital basically has kind of listed the more valuable part of the company. WeBuyCars is considered to be the better part of the company. In terms of like the South African car market, it's a little different from other parts of the world. I mean, if you ever lived in Europe or lived in North America especially, you would find that, you know, vehicles that are like 4 or 5 years old are considered to be almost junk. You know, you the demand in terms of the drop-off in pricing for a used 4 or 5 year old vehicle is shocking, much more than we see in South Africa. We keep our cars longer. We keep them, you know, through more owners because obviously we're a poorer country. We can't afford to replace it. We also have to deal with like import taxes and so on. So it's more difficult for us to buy these vehicles. So we have a much more developed, you know, second-hand car market than I would say most parts of the world. And I think that's one of the reasons that I think that we buy cars has done, you know, reasonably well in the last couple of days, because people do identify this as a more valuable or a better part of this particular company.
I spoke to WeBuyCars yesterday, Viv, and what wasn't clear was whether the proceeds from this listing would be used in part to bail out Transaction Capital, considering how heavy that balance sheet was at the point. Is that clear for us yet?
Yeah, look, I mean, they're going to have to do something about that. The other part of the business, the lending part of the business, obviously, you know, it's under pressure. And I do think that, you know, it is a very difficult market they're operating in, you know, lending to taxis, et cetera. You know, it's something which they made a great deal of profits, but also it's a more risky part of the market. And I think that, you know, obviously the cash that they would get from WeBuyCars would help them kind of stabilize their balance sheet on that side.
We'll be watching that one as well, Viv. Before I let you go, also keen to get your thoughts on what it might mean for Nedbank to look to investment banking for growth under a new CEO. Oh, it looks like the CIBs are where the real value is, or where SA banking is concerned.
Okay. Companies really split apart, the better it is going to be with regards to finding value. Therefore, you do find with companies split apart, you do find, or have, you know, different listings, you do find more value being created just because there's more clarity in terms of what's happening.
Well, we have time for this evening. Thank you so much for unpacking the day and the week's market activity for us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much, Cole. Wow, that was Viv Govender from Rand Swiss Offshore.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.